Hello and welcome to another edition of Heart of Healthcare. My name is Dr. Jan Bonhoeffer, and these podcasts are about helping physicians restore balance in their lives so we can co-create a medical system that benefits everyone. A quick reminder that you can find more information about our not-profit, heart-based medicine, and the work we do to support healthcare professionals at heartbasedmedicine.org.
Welcome to the Heart of Healthcare podcast, series 1, episode 9, when we're asking the contentious question, how come hospitals kill patients and doctors?
Every patient knows instinctively what to do when a child is sick. Bed rest, coziness, safety. This is a healing environment. Yet, cultivation of this kind of resonance is not emphasized in the medical training, and hospitals are often highly stressed environments. Today, we'll be discussing what changes need to be made to hospitals so they can become actual centers of healing. Please allow me to introduce my friend Dan Dindenberg today.
Hi, Jan. It's such a pleasure to be here to discuss such an important topic.
Thanks, Dan, for joining. And today, as we all know how this happens as healthcare professionals, Cavita has been called to serve on the cardiology service just a few hours ago, so she has to jump in here. So we'll take it away today and send love and energy to Cavita to complete her unexpected service. So Dan, let's dive into this. We've both worked in hospitals in many different environments and different regulatory systems, different healthcare systems, and they all have their peculiarities, but they all come with a similarity. At least for myself, I have not been blessed to work in a hospital where I really felt that this hospital has been designed to convey a sense of health, where patients walk into the hospital to really feel, this is a place for me to heal. This is a place for me to feel better. Yet, hospitals of all kinds have been really well designed to cure and to provide technical medical assistance at the very highest level in some places. So what is it, Dan, that makes an ideal healing environment for you?
Jan, it's such a great question. And even talking about that right now is such an exciting way as physicians to address an issue, because what I've found is this topic doesn't come up. We typically are in an environment that is set up by, let's just say, the bureaucracy or the business of medicine without looking at the patient.
So, Dan, we've both been working in many places, different hospitals, and we've seen different environments that are more or less conducive to healing. And I guess it's a fact that healthcare medical errors are one of the leading causes of death in most countries now, and particularly in the ones that are most kind of advanced and industrialized and the ones with highest income. And we also know that the rate of burnout and suicide among healthcare professionals is highest comparing with other professions. So those that we're expecting care from are actually at the brink of dying. So the staff is dying, and the healthcare system is driven by profit. And in many countries, this is what dictates the way we are supposed to deliver healthcare as physicians. So we have profit on the one hand, and we have patient care on the other hand. And we haven't really seen a way that this is reconciled in a way that is satisfactory. We know that as we're tired and as we're exhausted, we make errors, and we know that that kills patients. So the way that corporate medicine is set up right now is both killing healthcare professionals as well as patients. So acknowledging that, it doesn't mean that hospitals are not places where treatment happens and where lives are saved, obviously. So we have, over the last 200 years, as a medical community, perfected the art of saving lives. But we all run on emergency mode, and the price we're paying is really high. So I wonder what your take is on this, Dan, is how can we move beyond this? How can we improve this current situation? And is there a way that we can change our healing environment? Do you see a way that we can get out of this current, well, state that is completely unacceptable?
The answer, Jan, is starting at that point that it is unacceptable, that there is another pandemic going on and it's medical errors in this country. And if we realize that that's set up because of the system and the modeling and the financial benefits of our organizations of treatment, curing, and healing, then we have to change it. It's a no-brainer, and it needs to start from the inside, and we need to start to admit what's happening. I'm pretty confident that on the death certificates, we've been called as physicians to say cause of death. Medical error probably isn't listed very commonly as the cause of death, even when it is. And so, like many parts of society right now, we are in a transformative time of looking at the shadow, looking at what's happening with our systemic racism and social biases, and bringing that to the setting of the hospital, where we set up something, possibly with the right intention for helping, for curing, for treating, but because of the financial modeling, we're not looking at the patient, and it's not a patient-centric system. So the only way to make change is to bring what is hidden into the open. And the conversation that we're having is a great part of it, right? We're talking as physicians and sharing what's really going on. And as we show and shine a light of possibly the shadow of what it means to be overworked and tired and make mistakes that could lead to the loss of life or poor decision making or overcrowding or infection in hospital settings, then we start to look at how do we adapt? How do we create a new environment that supports both the practitioner, the healer, the physician, and the patients that are there? And that's the opportunity. That's the opportunity for growth. Now, one thing that I find that is incredibly important to bring forth is how do we create that model where the financial institution or the financial backing supports this? Because ultimately, that unfortunately is where real change is happening within business today.
Well, Dan, so at some point we've, as physicians, at some point we've let the MBAs in, right? And to our benefit or not. But I guess the benefit is that there's somebody who actually understands how to run a business. And certainly we have not been trained, you know, we've been trained as technicians pretty much. We have not learned how to lead people. We've not learned how to run a business. We've not learned so many aspects. We have not, we haven't been trained to understand the environment that we swim in, right? But the reality is that now we have MBAs running the system, and it's very much profit driven everywhere. Like, the cost pressures are enormous everywhere. And we know very much that that is in conflict with what is required. So we know very much that the sentiment, the perception of physicians and of healthcare professionals, of nurses, is that what they would really like is more time with patients, more dedicated time with patients, less pressures, and to really be there and serve the patient in a way that is actually the gold standard of that could be delivered. But that's at odds with the financial pressures. And we see this in the environment. We see the financial pressures, right? We see the linoleum floorings and the neon lights and the washable walls. And we see all of this. And we see how everything is what they call built for efficiency, which in other terms is said it's built to be, you know, cheaper. It saves money. So it's actually not what the MBAs are calling efficiency is not really what we would call an effective and meaningful way to really deliver the kind of healthcare that we want to deliver. So I'd really like to see kind of what makes an ideal healing environment given those pressures, you know, that what is it that can be achieved here?
The opportunity for what can be achieved is exceptional. We have the capacity to meet the needs of the patients, which actually brings connection and humanity back into the lives of those of us who are doing it. We actually feel like we are supporting our meaning and our purpose, and we're happier and live longer lives within medicine with creativity and resilience. Where the issue, and I'm just still trying to wrap my head around exactly how to answer this, is if it's profit driven, do we need to achieve a disaster? Do we need global proportions of medical errors? Do we need suicide levels in doctors to go so high that no one can look, no one can put their back to what's really going on in this medical system? And is that when change needs to happen? Or can we subtly change from inside as we feel what's happening within the system before we've hit such rock bottom where the deaths are impossible to look away from? And so to me, the first thing I want to think about is, like, what are we trying to do with our patients in these environments? Is this a place, like you said, the hospitals are set up to cure? And I think about cure as maybe the complete restoration of health. And, you know, when you say dare to care, I think the cura, the Latin root of that, right, isn't that into care. And so it's the restoration of health. And I would possibly even argue against you that hospitals are more set up for the treatment. The treatment, which I think of as like the management of a patient to combat disease. To me, it's almost like an antithesis. You go in and you're fighting something. And so the environment itself is in direct contrast or fighting what you're trying to manage, so to speak, the disease state. And then the question you asked me was about healing. So just kind of differentiating those, healing to me is a restoration towards wholeness. Not the absence of symptoms, but a true transformation into feeling whole. So I think you and I both know that, you know, a disease state can be treated. You could still be very sick, but you could have achieved healing within the process. So just laying that down, just sometimes if I say how I think about these things, then I can go further into what creates a healing environment. So to me, the healing environment starts with the person who is to be healed, right? And so it has to be in alignment with the environment that supports that. So you start by saying, you know, in the adolescent or the pediatric, you know, it's so obvious that you want to cultivate coziness and held and supported. Well, that probably goes across all patients, but it's also depends on what you are healing from. And so ultimately there would be a sense, to me, when I'm healing from something, I want the elements of nature. I want love and connection. I want to feel supported in a deep, powerful way. And I want all the raw materials for me to create, because I have an innate sense that my body can heal. And so it's a very supportive environment for that. So there's so much to unpack here, but I'm just going to play back to you, Jan, where it's, what do you think about the idea of the hospital and its set up as an environment? Is it to treat? Is it to cure? And what does that environment entail?
Well, yeah, thank you. I mean, there's maybe the Swiss perspective here is helpful in a way. Because when I started out as a student, when I aspired to start medical studies, I had to make the decision of whether to actually serve in the military service, which is mandatory. It was mandatory at the time in Switzerland. There was nothing like a civil servant option or alternative. So for me, it was either serving in the military or going to prison. And I was then told that there are ways to get around it, but if I chose not to be in the military service, it would be absolutely impossible for me to have any career in the medical environment, because it is kind of an unspoken law that if you're kind of having a career in the medical field, then you have to have had a career in the military. The idea was that's kind of what is required, and that gives you leadership skills and all of these things. So that was a firm belief. And why I'm telling this is because a lot of the language, not just in Switzerland, but all across the world, a lot of the language we're using in medicine is very combative. As you said, it's kind of the war against cancer, right? We're fighting disease. We're, a lot of this is very kind of male combative conceptualization and has very little to do with an environment that we need to heal, feeling safe, being able to relax. To the contrary, it has to do, it suggests an environment of stress. It's about war. It's about sympathetic overdrive. It's about we're going to do this. And this is what we see in the staff. So this is what we see across all countries, I guess. I haven't seen a place where healthcare professionals were not at the brink of burnout, where they were not tired, worn out, way before COVID. So this is part of the show. This seems to be an acceptable part of the equation. And also, the idea of everything has to be functional in a way, built on the premise of catastrophe medicine, war medicine, emergency medicine. It's kind of, you know, the suffering is unbelievably prevalent. We're too few physicians, healthcare professionals, so what can we do? Okay, so you start with the disaster, and you build a system of disaster medicine. So a lot of the history of medicine is coming from this. It's kind of military medicine, it's disaster medicine, and it's emergency medicine. And there are ways, I believe, that we could be differentiating a little bit more than we have in the past. And we could really focus on other aspects of healing rather than the treatment or the kind of the keeping the body alive in a stressful situation. So the paradigm that we're working on is something that we could expand, and that would actually be helpful to expand. To turn it around, there was a beautiful study in Canada in the paramedic system where they've tested what happens if at the venue of the paramedic, where the paramedics kind of pick up the emergency patient, if one of the first sentences the physician would say, or the paramedic would say, is, "The worst is over. We're with you now. You're not alone." Just that very sentence had a significant impact when they were comparing groups. So providing this sense of safety, a sense of trust, and really an environment where people feel held and guided and seen is worth pursuing. So for me, when I go into, when I review those hospitals that I worked in, I see neon flooring. I see washable walls. You know, I find myself working in rooms without daylight, you know, for days. You know, I find myself, so there are so many aspects of a healthcare system or place of healing that are really not what I would wish as a patient to feel relaxed, to feel like this is a place where I can let go. It feels more like this is a place where I need to survive until I'm out of my emergency mode, and then I can actually go home and finally go into some kind of parasympathetic system. So I would wish that we were really designing hospitals not so much from an efficiency point of view, in other words, from a it's cheaper point of view, but we could actually design hospitals really from the patient's perspective. And increasingly this is the case. So the hospital where I've been working now in for the last 10 years in Switzerland is a pediatric hospital, and they have taken a lot of these things into account, and yet I would feel this is still like miles away from anything that is really a healing place. It's very much a treatment place still. So there's a long way to go for us, I feel, Tan. Let's look at this from another angle, then. Let's look at this from the angle of, you know, we often find ourselves in an environment that may not be fully conducive and to healing, and it may not be the ideal place. It may not have the elements of nature that you were highlighting. It may not provide the nutrition that is actually kind of revitalizing, but it just provides some quick fix, high carb processed food quick fix. What can we do as physicians when we work in a system where we feel it's clearly deficient? It is not to the standard that we would really like to see. What can we provide there? Are we at the mercy of the system, or do you see that we have ways to contribute to best practice?
I do believe that there are ways to contribute to best practice. What is difficult and challenging is the historical picture that you paint, right? So some of what we're dealing with now in the hospital setting in these environments came from a historical viewpoint. So I think what we're dealing with now is, in my experience, most illness is chronic disease management, ultimately, kind of metabolic, lifestyle, epigenetics, meeting all together. And so having an environment that is just an urgent, emergent, washable walls, fluorescent lights, high carb, doesn't really fit. So there is an opportunity to completely transform that. But it has to come from within the system, those of us that are practicing in those environments saying, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. Or set up something that is a different environment. And I don't think we're going to go across the board immediately. and change all of the way that we're doing this. I think that hospitals still will exist as we know them, but we'll start to see something like when you think about a birth center. Well, going back to the idea of healing, if you're looking at the idea of healthy birth, the way that it's set up of bringing people in, these women are giving birth into the sympathetic activation with the lights and the nurses and too many people and the difficult logging in just to get there, and you're waiting, and the sounds and the environment, the cacophony and the loudness, and just painting that picture of being in a hospital, you're closing up. Meaning, you know, this is something that is someone's like, oh yeah, I'm in labor, I'm progressing, my cervix is probably dilating. You first go in and you check, and it's just like any other animal in nature, you close up. And so I remember very clearly, you would say, oh, this woman's not in labor, her cervix is not dilated. I'm sure they were on the way over. And the 17 things that happen in the hospital to make you fearful and uncertain about what's going to happen closes it up. And so then playing through a system there, well, they're already in, let's get them registered, let's get them to a room, and then now all of a sudden they're not progressing, and so then we start have to intervening. The hospital system is set up for the interventions and the treatment because in its basis, it was set up like the urgent emergent care. And I want to just add one thing here, that it is a blessing to have modern allopathic Western medical approach. I sometimes come on as an integrative healer, but like, when we need a stent put in or there is a, you know, emergent thing that needs to happen, it is so incredible to have an efficient system that isn't fully based in, you know, chanting and meditation and the environment, and things need to happen quickly and efficiently, and you know that's what's going on. It's like a cardiac protocol, and things are going happen. Someone just had a stroke, someone had a heart attack, and things are put into movement. Why I paint that picture of these two different things, again, you start with the patient. And you start to create from the patient and how you support that patient. Is it possible to change? Yes, because if we as physicians, as practitioners, and the patients aren't supported by the system, and we create a new system that supports that, then that becomes something that becomes financially viable for the future. So going back to the idea, if women are like, I don't want to go into the hospital for this birth, but I want to make sure that I have a blend between, in case something happens and a C-section was necessary, the technology that's there, but it's a conducive environment to opening and laboring and healing. That is a blend that works in that environment. And so I think what we'll have is almost like, maybe if you look back at like surgery centers or birth centers, you'll have different environments that are set up for those different ways of practicing medicine. But I think that's a great question, Jan, and I'm not evading the very practical, pragmatic, like how do we do it? And I want to put it back on you, and I'm happy to continue to talk about what are those changes, because let's make them. It's time.
Yeah, I love your like the landscape you're laying out here. So what I hear from you is you're saying if we really want to create an environment that is conducive to healing, we need to start with the patient. And that means it really depends on whether this person indeed is in an emergency situation and needs exactly what has been refined in such, you know, to such perfection already in the current kind of corporate medicine. But we also want a system that is adaptive to other needs and doesn't kind of treat everybody according to the emergency kind of mindset. And on the other end of this spectrum, I guess it's not, you know, it's not about doing yoga harder to create the environment that really is conducive to healing and relaxation and allows an environment of trust and healing. But it is about seeing what is it that this patient actually needs, and are we able to adapt to the needs of this the patient, which is, I would believe, really, I mean, that's changing paradigm completely. Because I believe while kind of the PR of the hospital says, oh, we're very patient-centered, I believe that's only very superficially so. At the core of what the hospital delivers, at least most hospitals that I've seen, the attitude is still like, oh, we're the physicians, we're the healthcare providers, we know what's good for our patients, we design the hospital in the way that we know is great. And yeah, you know, we have to adapt to our needs, and our staff also needs to have a few things so that they can actually work well. But, you know, so there's then kind of this glossing over the fact that actually we have an idea of what it should look like. And I wonder what a place of healing would look like if we were asking patients to design a hospital. And if I look at the wellness industry, that's interesting. That looks very different. They've been listening to their clients very closely, and they're living on a different financial model. So it's interesting to see what kind of hotels are frequented by people for relaxation and what wellness environments actually look like and what they convey and why people like to go there. So what can we contribute as physicians in this? I guess it's the same request as, can we actually step out of our military warfare combative thinking, and can we actually change our focus to seeing the world through the patient's eyes? And have we learned to be flexible enough in our worldview to actually learn from patients and to really hear from patients what they're looking for and what they're hoping from our services? That would be a pretty different approach, I believe. So what does it take for us as a physician? I would say maybe we could label it as adaptability, a true interest in the patient rather than a strategic interest into making a diagnosis and therefore knowing how to treat them. And the ability to, the willingness to go through an inner culture shift that may not be in line with the environment that we're working in, but it's in line with the values that we want to live up to. Yeah, well, Dan, how do we bring these worlds together? So how do we, here's a healing environment that is more or less conducive and more or less adaptive in design. What would it look like if we're able to design a healing environment, if we're able to kind of live in the best way we could show up as physicians? How could we bring these two worlds together? Where would the meeting point be? You have a sense for that?
the meeting place is exciting because as you speak, Jan, I'm really inspired by the integration of the past and the future. I've seen attempts at what we're talking about maybe 16 years ago, I went to the Big Island, and there is the North Hawaii Community Hospital, and they had set it up. Earl Bakken had left a big amount of money to set up something that was going to be the first hospital that was high-tech and high-touch. And they were going to have the best of high technology, but they were also going to be have the spirit of Lokahi, which is a Hawaiian mind, body, and spirit. And they brought lanais where the hospital rooms would open up on a central courtyard, and there was skylights and wider hallways and no fluorescent lightings, and EMF was buried deep within the earth itself. In a GI suite, they would have pictures of Hawaiian indigenous healers doing, and then there would be ginger, actually, which is a very great like a gastrointestinal plant in the room. And it was all of the aspects that we're dreaming up right now. Like if we had a, you know, if we sat down and we're like, oh, what is the best of technology? Well, we need this special tool and this technology and this CT scanner and this MR. But we also want the healing and the indigenous wisdom and the spaciousness. And it was a beautiful expression. But one of the things that I noticed right away was the amount of people that are in this part of a community hospital on the Big Island in Hawaii isn't even close. And so one of the reasons it felt like an incredible healing environment, you walk in and you're like, oh, this is conducive to healing. But there's also not that many people. There was not that many sick patients. And so the feeling felt very different than when you walk in. But is that fair to compare? Like, can you really compare that to a really busy urban center in the United States where there's a huge number of turnover and there's gunshot wounds and there's screaming and there's lots of different stuff? So the question you ask me, again, is I sometimes try to paint the picture of how I've seen what I think can be the future. But the application to that is to the real world of how do you create that in the urban setting? How do you create that when turnover is incredible? I've seen it work in an environment where there is a natural ebb and flow of healing that exists because of the nature of the world that it is. I think the opportunity for the integration is when you mentioned about the staff physician, because we, let's say, created an environment in which to work, or we didn't create that, but we're working within an environment. But I think now what you and I both would agree on is that we are the ones living in that environment, and it's not conducive to our own health and healing, and so we're burning out. And so the transformation that exists is that exactly what you're talking about, adaptability and creativity and finding more alignment with ourselves within this environment, and dare I say healing for the practitioner within the environment. So this is where the rubber meets the road. If we're not able to survive and we're not able to flourish as practitioners in these environments, then they're not conducive to our own health. That's where the change can start to happen. Because ultimately, if we're not willing to work in a hospital setting or the hospital setting in the way that it's set up, then things need to change. And I think one of the things that's so interesting right now is you're seeing so much more telemedicine, because of COVID and a pandemic, and there is actually some intimacy that's occurring in physicians that didn't have that kind of intimacy in their own exam room. They had a certain way things were set up, and now, you know, their baby's crying, they go in the other room, they're sorry about the dog barking, and all of a sudden, there is a connection. There is being seen. There is two people engaging. And so what we're going to learn from this experience is coming back into it is we need that. We need an environment which is set up so that we could see one another and then we could both flourish within this setting.
We're recognizing that there is a kind of place that would actually be an enabling environment for physicians and for patients alike. And we can see that this may be possible in some, is already possible in some areas. But we can also see that in other places, this may be very challenging to maintain, just given the tremendous workload that just by the number of patients kind of suggests a sense of urgency and disaster management, just by the sheer amount of people to be served. Which may then question the way we run the hospitals. And it may question whether this is really the right way forward. So this may be kind of the best way we can address a disaster, but it may not actually be the way we want to think about healing in the future. As we know that this is an environment that is actually killing some of our colleagues. And we know that it is an environment where because the healthcare professionals are exhausted and are burned out, and that's not just some, and it's not the weakness of some, but it's actually 50% of people who are actually high performers. You know, like everybody working in healthcare for more than a year or two is a high performer, and it's among the high performers that 50% are burned out. And because of that, because of the overwhelm, we're making mistakes. And today we know that making mistakes or medical errors are among the leading cause of death in hospitals, right? So it is worthy to ask that question. So I think everybody waving their kind of dismissing the case as like, yeah, you dream on about your Hawaiian beautiful hospital here, but try and do that in Chicago. Well, yeah, let's think about that. Yeah, I think this is actually a question worth asking. What would be the equivalent environment of healing look like downtown Chicago? So, wow. And another deep dive, Dan. And we could go on for long, but I think we will probably close for today as we've reached our half-hour well. And I just want to thank you for being on the show, and I hope you enjoyed the chat with Daniel. And you can find more information at heartbasedmedicine.org, and I'd deeply appreciate if you could click subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on. Until next time, thanks for listening, and take care.
This has been a Heart-Based Medicine production. Thanks for listening.